The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
The Superwoman Whole Health Fix.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
This is Dr. Taz, and this is my podcast, The Dr. Taz Show. In this edition, we will speak with Cassandra Bodzak, who is a global meditation and wellness teacher. She's an author, a speaker, a TV personality, and works with clients one-on-one all over the world. She merges the food and spirituality conversation to help people create a life that lights them up from the inside out. She has been seen on ABC's The Taste, Shape.com's Healthy Cooking video series, and in many other wellness publications. Welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, we are absolutely honored to have you on, and we want to jump right in and get to know what you're up to and what's going on with you. And one of the things, as we were browsing your website and trying to learn more about what all the great work you're doing, is that you've got a book coming out in a few weeks called Eat with Intention. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and what kind of drove you to write that book?
Yeah, so exciting. Book Baby is coming out November 15th, and Eat with Intention is really, it's kind of my starter manual in so many ways, and it was the starter manual for my life and my journey, and I think it's for so many women, something that we're constantly in a relationship with and we're constantly dealing with is our body. And for so many people, that's not a pleasant situation. And I went through years of disordered eating and just really not loving my body and feeling it was like it was just something I had to work against. And so my journey to making peace with my body and loving my body allowed me to open up this whole new world where I was able to tap in to my wisdom and my intuition and really use my body for the beautiful navigation system that it is.
I think that's amazing. And as I, you know, as I talk to so many different people and meet people, you know, it's so interesting how so many of us jump into this field because we've had a personal story and we've had some sort of experience that has driven us here. And as women, I think we're often disconnected from our bodies and we all often have a very almost adversarial relationship with our bodies. Do you feel comfortable sharing with us maybe just a little bit about what happened with you, just for other listeners out there who might be going through something similar?
Absolutely. So my, you know, disordered thinking and behavior around my body started very, very young. I was in elementary school when I first started really hating my body and thinking that there was something wrong with me because I wasn't small. Meanwhile, this whole time I was like an average, lanky kind of kid. And I really just had a very skewed vision of what I look like in my head. And so that kind of grew, and it was just something that was like kind of a part of my life. I was always the person that was like on the latest fad diet. I was always working out 2.5 hours of the day. I was getting up at the crack of dawn so I could run. I was just like that person. And everybody thought that that was just like, oh, that's just, you know, how Cass is. Like, she's, you know, kind of like the health nut, but, you know, nobody else kind of realized that it was like coming from a really dark place.
Where did that, I mean, you're winding it back all the way to elementary school.
Yeah.
So where did that come from? I mean, but that's so important. I mean, I'm a mom of an 8-year-old. I want to know. I mean, I'm sure other people want to know too. Like, where did this come from? Where did that darkness begin? Did someone say something to you? Did it come from school? Where does it start? And then I'm completely familiar with how it escalates, but where does it begin?
Yeah.
How did it start for you?
Yeah, so this is kind of the really sad part about it, is I really remember the first moment that it started, because it was just kind of emblazoned in my memory, and it's in the book, and it was, I believe I was something like 5 years old. I think I was in first grade or kindergarten, and it was the first time we ever got weighed at school. And up until that point, like, I'm sure I got weighed at the doctor's office, but it was just, like, me and my mom. And, like, my mom, like, that was never the focus of the visit. You know, my mom would just be, like, the checkup. It was just part of the checkup. It was never, like, made a big deal of, right? I was always, like, normal weight, so it never, like, lit my radar. And then in school, we weighed ourselves, and all of a sudden now we could compare our weight. to all of our friends.
To everybody else. Oh, no.
Yeah, because all it was like, that was like kind of the thing. Everybody like stood in a line at the nurse's thing. You all got your height and your weight. And, you know, at that age, you don't realize that the fact that like, I mean, I'm 5'8 right now, and I've always been like, growing up, I was always like the tallest, like lankiest kid in my class. And
yeah, I'm the opposite. I was like the shortest. The shortest and the smallest.
The whole time, I always wanted to be the shortest, you know? So I kind of like, grass is greener. I always felt like I was like a giant. And now, like, as I'm older, I can appreciate, you know, being taller. But at the time, you don't even put two and two together. Like, the fact that I'm, like, a few inches taller than everybody else might make me weigh a little bit more. And so I remember hanging out with one of my girlfriends after school. We were, like, playing on the swing set. And I was, like, burning inside. I just wanted to know what her number was because I wanted to know, like, how mine stacked up to it. And like, even at that, like, crazy young age, there was this kind of assumption. And I don't remember exactly where this assumption came from, but there was this assumption that the lower the number was better.
And that is great. And it's not that you heard it from somebody else. It's not that your parents said that to you. It's just you sort of picked that up subconsciously, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it was just whatever in like the process of, you know, weighing and stuff. It was, I mean, I also think like at that age and when you're really young, it's more like, at least in my like world, there wasn't as big of a thing to be underweight, you know?
Right.
So you're always like more worried if you were over, was either like you're in a good weight or you're overweight.
Right. And there's no other parameter. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I remember being 5 pounds heavier than my best friend at the time. And, like, not to mention that I was also, you know, way taller than her. But, and then just kind of realizing, like, oh, my God, like, I'm fat. Like,
oh,
little tiny, like, little girl me was, like, I'm fat. And, like, you know, from that, there wasn't much I could do about it at a young age. But I just remember being so conscious of food. And, like, my parents ate super normal. Very,
wow,
like,
so this... So this starts at 5 and then it just escalates as you describe it and escalates. And I'm assuming it transformed into more control over food and more control over your body. What sort of happens as you get older and where did you finally make the shift to be kind of the person you are today?
So the kind of what I like to call like the divine intervention, and there were a few divine interventions, I think, in high school that I just didn't really listen to. I had a couple episodes where I got really scared for my life because of I was taking, like, diet pills and having, like, weird reactions. And obviously, like, nobody, like, my parents or anything would kill me if they knew about it. So nobody knew about what I was doing. And I had those moments where I, like, that was my first one where I was like, okay, I don't want to take these diet pills. I know that, and, you know, instinctively that they're not good for me and they're clearly having really bad effects on my heart.
What diet pills, I've got to ask as a doctor, what diet pills were you taking?
I think this was like Stacker and like the kind of like basic stuff that you buy at GNC. I pretty much like probably funded GNC during my high school years on like every side of the spectrum.
Wow. So just stuff you could get over the counter, you know,
yeah.
I guess, quote unquote, natural remedies or even healthy remedies, but you would just go to the diet section, pull some things off there and then take them every day? Or how did you even know what to do?
I would look up all the different, I started off with natural remedies, but I'd be doing all of them. I'd be doing like papaya and oat bran and garlic and fish oil. And I had like a cocktail of like 20 different things I'd take every day.
Wow.
And most of them that in and of itself are fine and good and well, but that's why, you know, so much of my book and what I talk about these days is intention. And there are so many things that I think people that have never had that experience with having a bad relationship with food or their body, don't realize that like you can eat a kale salad out of love and being like, this kale salad is going to nourish me. And I know it has all like these good things to fuel my day. Or you can eat it because you don't like yourself and you want to change yourself. And somehow in your head, you think, well, if I eat enough kale salads, I'll be the size I want to be. And that kind of was like the same thing with a lot of that stuff. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong if you want to take like a papaya supplement, but like it's doing it for like a good reason and being like, oh,
for the
like,
wrong reason.
Yeah.
I always say in practice, you know, one of the things I've noticed, you know, the motivation to change or the motivation to really shift your health usually comes from a couple of different places. It usually comes internally. It's something you really want to do, or it's motivated by somebody you love, either, you know, your partner or your mother or somebody who deeply, deeply cares about you, or you have a crisis and that crisis becomes a wake up call. And it sounds like, you know, something for you that started at 5 progressed and escalated with you now taking diet pills in high school, you know, eventually did become a crisis. It sounds like you had a health scare too. What was kind of the crisis moment for you that maybe motivated you to make a change?
The crisis moment was definitely in college when I really took things to the next level in college because I was in an acting program and I was taking dance classes at the time, and there was a lot of body image stuff that was getting revved up in accordance to my career. And I've always been a super, like, ambitious woman from an early age. So, like, to tell me that me being even skinnier might help my career was just, like, the worst thing anyone can do.
We're going to do this. We're going to get skinny as fast as we can.
I was like, I'm going to be the skinniest because I'm going to be successful.
Right.
And my body kind of, what I like to think, like, saved the little war on me. And just started, I just started getting incredible pains in my torso and, like, my stomach region. And all of a sudden, I mean, there were times when I could barely walk. I describe it to women as, imagine your, like, worst period cramps times 100. And I didn't know what was going on, but I, again, intuitively knew that this is my body saying, like, enough of this BS. Please.
Yeah, stop.
Like, this, please stop. And I went to doctors in college, and they did all sorts of blood tests and stuff. Nobody had any idea. Like, according to blood tests and according to all the you know, different urine tests and stuff that they did for me, nothing was actually wrong with my body. They couldn't find anything. And yet these pains were still happening. And so I really kind of did my own research. And through the loving guidance of, I think, one of the nurses that saw me at the infirmary constantly, looked at an elimination diet. And but again, like, it's funny because you think an elimination diet after all this, it was, for me, it was the first time I'd switched that intention, and I'd gotten so desperate that I really just wanted my body back. I missed, like, being able to do yoga and being able to dance and walking painlessly across campus. I just really wanted my body to be well for the first time in my life. What mattered more to me than being skinny was just feeling good and having my body work again. And so I read a bunch of stuff, and then I decided at that point to go vegan and gluten-free. And it was really just, at the time, I was the farthest thing from that. I mean, I mostly had, like, you know, I was eating nothing.
Low fat, low carb.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people were low fat, but yeah, most people were really stuck on the low fat movement. Yep.
I was like eating fat free ranch dressing with iceberg lettuce and like Special K with skim milk.
I can completely relate. Diet Coke was the drink of choice because it was zero calories, and zero calories is good, right? So I can completely relate.
Yes, all that stuff that I'm like horrified of now. But yeah, like, that's what I was doing. And then when I was being naughty, like, I was totally like a, let's get like a chicken wings or like a burger kind of girl. And so I like to just stress that, because I think when people hear like, oh my God, she went vegan, I stress that that was really not how my nature was at all. In fact, I was really terrified to do it, but I was in a position where I just so strongly felt that that was what my body was really asking me for. So the beginning of that looked like me just eating like brown rice and trying out all sorts of different vegetables and trying to figure out how to cook them to be palatable. And And within a week, I felt like a different person.
Wow.
Like my pain stopped, my energy like skyrocketed, and I was hooked. I was
wonderful.
Oh my God, this is what my body has been asking me for this whole time, and I've been so stuck in my own
disconnected.
Like, yeah. So that's that's how it all began.
Yeah. That's such a powerful story. And one of the things that I notice over and over again, while an elimination diet, I mean, I think anyone listening, you know, who's busy and running around, that's the last thing they want to jump into. But what I've noticed that what a lot of elimination diets do and what a lot of detoxes do is that they force you to get reconnected to the process of feeding yourself. So you're not necessarily allowed anymore to eat on the run or to grab and go, or, you know, they really, really force you to reconnect. And it sounds like that's what it did for you. And within a week, you started noticing that you felt better. But how did you go from feeling better to sort of creating this whole, you know, campaign and this movement maybe of, you know, wellness and intuitive eating? I'm curious to see how that just became more of your mission and your passion.
Yeah, well, the whole thing started with me kind of being on the adventure to learn how to make vegan things and gluten-free things, and it started in like 2008, so it was before it was as like popular and trendy as it was these days. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have any resources. I mean, I was taking books out of the library and photocopying recipes. and my sorority sisters in college and a lot of my girlfriends were kind of like catching on to what I was doing and like super curious about it as well, because I mean, so many females in college have, you know, relatable situations to that kind of story where they're, you know, kind of know that they're trapped in
Definitely.
Like a cycle of eating that's like not working for them, regardless of where that cycle of eating ends up on the spectrum. So I started, they just wanted me to share the recipes because they were like, the stuff you're making, I would feed. I lived with like four other girls and I would feed them because I just loved cooking, and it made me feel better if they would like eat whatever I was eating. And it helped me really like make those changes when it's hard in the beginning, you know, and you get accustomed
to
a certain way of eating. It really is hard. But I approached it with more of the like an adventurous spirit and being like, I'm going to figure this out. And I would make like cookies and brownies too, and like figure out how I could make them in a way that I could still eat them. And sometimes things tasted horrible. Eventually, things tasted better. And I started posting the recipes on the blog, and then that was the part of it. And then it was just kind of fun. The blog, I never, you know, thought much of it. It was really just for my girlfriend so they could copy my recipes. And that kind of spurred me on. It was kind of like this thing that just lived with me as, you know, through the years while I was acting and doing other things. And the more life
just got bigger.
It just got bigger, and the more lifestyle tips came in because, you know, of course, after, you know, a couple of months of feeling better, you get cocky again. And
right.
You're like, well, I could probably go back to eating that chicken burrito at the student union.
It'll be fine. Yes.
It'll be fine. And so I did, and I almost went to the emergency room because of a chicken burrito.
Wow.
And my body, like, but it, you know, it's stories like that that I think are so important to share, just because, you know, one, to emphasize the fact that I'm totally human and, like, I still had those urges, and I'm not, like, some, like, you know, superior being that does not have cravings.
I know. I mean, I think so many people on their journey towards health and towards feeling well think it's all or nothing. I mean, we all want dessert. We all want sugar. We all, you know, eat things maybe that are off course. But I think it goes back to, if you can navigate that journey with intention and with a good relationship, rather than, again, that adversarial relationship where your body is your enemy, then you break that cycle. I mean, one thing that you can probably relate to is you talk about college and the girls around you. I remember distinctly when I was in medical school, there were a group of us. There was nothing we could control. The only thing we could really control was exercise and how we ate. And I think there were a group of us that sort of fed off each other in terms of who could be the skinniest and how much we were exercising. And it was done out of just being miserable and probably depressed and stressed with the workload. And it was such, we were all trying to be quote unquote healthy, but we were doing it with the wrong intention, you know what I mean? For the mm-hmm. wrong reason. How, you know, when you think about women listening out there and they're really trying to put the pieces of their health together and they intellectually know what to do, how do they switch from this is a goal and this is a mission and I want this number and I want, you know, I want my labs to look good or I want all of that to being, I need to switch it to not being as intellectual of a pursuit, but being more of an intuitive pursuit. Kind of what's your advice to people listening to really pursue that intuitive role or that, or to really learn to listen to their intuition?
Yeah. I think that, yeah, that's so important. And I really think that that comes from body gratitude and checking in with your body. The first and foremost is kind of realizing that your body has all the answers. And I could totally relate to, you know, you guys being in medical school or being anyone who's kind of in that place where you're constantly learning, like, these new nutritional theories and like these new studies that are coming out and all this stuff. And it's so easy to give our power away to yes. everything outside of us that's telling us what should be happening or what we should do. So I think the first step is to really, really connect to the fact that your body is a incredibly smart piece of machinery. And all of the miracles that your body does on a daily basis. I mean, I highly suggest even just like reading up. I have a body gratitude meditation that I do that's in the book Eat with Intention, where it's literally just going through, and I'm sure you can relate to this too, the different systems and the different processes that occur on a daily basis in your body.
That we take for granted. We completely take for granted.
Totally mm-hmm. for granted. And we're like, no, this thing is so dumb. I have to like go paleo because it doesn't know what to do. Right. And when we really get into that awe and gratitude for our body and reverence for our body and be like, oh my God, I breathe, my heart, you know, really basic stuff, even if you don't know all the intricacies of it. But I do think if this is something you're struggling with, you know, looking all that up and just looking up the different systems in your body and how the different systems work together and what your different cells do. I mean, you can get into a place of such awe and reverence for your body that you're like, wow, most of the time what we need to do is just get out of the way, right?
And definitely.
And once we get into that gratitude, and I suggest if this is something that you're struggling with, make it a daily practice. Show up for it. It's a muscle. You know, you've trained the muscle of being in your head about this, of giving your power away to outside sources for years upon years. Our society and the media is constantly pushing that at you. So you need
and
to get your
images
muscle
are
really
tough.
Yeah. So it's like you really need to get your muscles strong to be constantly reminding yourself. And I think a meditation practice is also super helpful. And even if you want to start off a meditation practice by just connecting with your body, connecting with your breath, connecting with the miracle that is your breath, and then asking your body and actually having that conversation with your body on a daily basis. And I think, you know, it's one of those things when people first start off trying to have a conversation with their body. And I like go through this in detail in the book, but this was revolutionary for me, was actually giving the power back to my body and checking in and asking, hey, you know, for me, it's so funny because I don't eat meat. A lot of people, you know, they always want to know, like, what are my political reasons? What are all my, like, logistics? Right. They want to hear all these studies, right? And I fully can, like, fully support that decision with all of that if I wanted to. But the true reason of why I don't is just because my body doesn't want it. And the few times after I've given it up that I've put it back in, my body makes it very, very clear that it does not want it.
Does not want you know? Those. Yeah, I mean, one of the most powerful things that I've learned in practice is that intuition sometimes is more powerful than any of the research, any of the science, anything else. And if we can learn as women to really get in touch with our intuition, then that's a part of our superpowers, honestly. That's a part
it
of
is.
What allows us to move forward in the world and conquer the world and do all the amazing things that we want to do. I want to know, I'm curious, you know, we call this podcast the Superwoman's Whole Health Fix. And I feel like you've already answered this question because you were talking so much about intuition. You know, if you were to tell women listening out there and some of our listeners, you know, for them to be their true selves, their whole selves, to really have and own their superpowers, what are maybe a couple of the things that they really need to be thinking of? I feel like you've almost answered it because you've talked about body gratitude, which I think in itself, if all women could do, it would change them immensely. You've talked about intuition and understanding the power of intuition in your daily lives. Is there anything else you would add to that list?
Yeah. So a few things. And the first thing, you know, I told you this when you spoke earlier, I love the name of this, the Superwoman's Health Fix, because I do think I fit that kind of archetype of like a quote unquote superwoman. And one of the things that I'm constantly reminding myself of is that I'm not serving anybody by being a superwoman, right? And I think sometimes to really be a superwoman, we kind of have to realize that it's okay if we're not. And it's okay to ask, like, as women, and I'm sure as the women listening to this, and as someone like yourself is very successful and, you know, very together, sometimes we need to allow ourselves to not be superwoman. Sometimes we need to really, and so much of that is listening to our intuition. And what I mean by that is, you know, when your plate is overloaded, you know, it's okay to say, you know what, I can't make that event tonight. I have to take a bath because I need to, like, take some time. You know, asking for support from those around you, you know, if you need, you know, whether it's your husband or, you know, a girlfriend, and being like, you know, I'm having a crazy week this week. Would you mind helping me with this? I think those are so nourishing for our soul, just kind of giving ourselves a free pass to not be superwoman 24/7, to allow ourselves to take that time to nourish ourselves and to also, ask others to support us.
I completely agree. I mean, I think I get called that too. Oh, you must be a superwoman. And that's sort of the tongue-in-cheek name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we're only as good as our support system, our ability to reconnect, you know, we're only as good as we are in terms of putting all those different pieces together. And I think you brought home, you know, a very important point for all listeners is that when we disconnect from our bodies and when we disconnect from our sixth sense, which is intuition, that's really where we get into trouble. And I think with your book, Eat with Intention, I encourage everybody to read it, because hopefully, you know, you will be able to teach everyone how to develop that sixth sense, which will really keep them healthy in the years to come. If they want to learn more about you or the book, where should we go? Where should we look for you? Give us some tips.
Yeah, for sure. So absolutely. And so much of listening to that sixth sense helps you navigate not only what food to eat, but every other aspect of your life, and know what's right for you. So that you can find the book on Amazon and just by searching Eat with Intention. You can find
it's November 15th, right? November 15th is your release date. Okay, so Eat with Intention, yes. November 15th. It's going to be on Amazon.
Yeah, you can pre-order it now so you get it on the release date. And you can find me at Cassandra Bodzak, www.cassandrabodzak. Everything's on my website. And I'm just my name, Cassandra Bodzak, on all social media, if you're into that. And I also have a beautiful mind, body, soul support community called Appreciati. And that is just appreciati.com, which I'm sure will include the links somewhere for as well.
Definitely. Yes. We'll have all those links up. And please grab her book, Learn to Love Your Body, Learn Body Gratitude, Be Consistent with Your Intuition, and Pay Attention to It. Cassandra, thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed it, and I hope our listeners did as well.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This was great.